And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hey, Stan, tell me, before you tell us the show, where are you?
Right now, I'm in the Manhattan Club in New York City, and the weather here is incredible.
Fantastic. You're a man. You're a traveling man.
Hey, I'd rather be home and in one place. It's getting tiresome. Anyway.
Okay, now you can start the formal introduction.
All right. Formal introduction. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, broadcast all over the entire planet on CRNTalk.com. Together, me and my producer, Malcolm Barry Berman.
Hidden in Los Angeles.
Well, except today I really am broadcasting from New York City. And I have to apologize for the screw-up on the time because I looked at my plane reservation the other day and I thought it was 6 or 7 o'clock and it's only 3:59. So I had to rush and I have our two guests with me today. We have Marilyn Ida Horowitz. Her book was sent to me by Courtney. I read the book in 2 days. Usually I take a lot longer to read a book, but it just grabbed me, and I just wanted to go through it and read the book. And 2 days, that was pretty good for me.
Well, it could be that, or it could be it's a small book, short book.
It was medium size. And but let me say something about Ms. Horowitz. We did this on our email blast, but for those people who didn't get it, you know, there are people out there that wear many different hats, like myself, for instance. Now, some people, when they can't do it, they decide to teach, right?
Where they take Viagra. My mind always goes there, pardon me.
Not so with our special guest, Marilyn Ida Horowitz. Not only does she write, but with almost a half a dozen movie credits under her belt, she also teaches. So she does it and she teaches. Now, she's here with us today to discuss her latest book, which is called The Book of Zev, and whatever else is on our mind.
Is that about Zev Yaroslavsky,
our exiting county supervisor? Nothing to do with politics.
Oh, okay.
I read the book, like I said, in 2 days. She'll tell you about it. And more importantly, she'll tell our listeners out there what it is, what it's about, and where they could run to buy a copy.
Fantastic.
All right, Meryl, let's see if he can hear you. We're on a speakerphone. We figured out, or one of our guests here, Janet, figured out how to work it.
Thank God.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. That means they can hear you all over the country.
Yes, good. And I'm very excited that you could pronounce Zev, because everybody thinks it's Zev, Zen, or something else. Huh. But Zev, who is the main character, is a religious Jew, and the name Zev is a derivative of a Jewish name, which is Zephaniah, which means the one who is awaited.
Well, in Los Angeles, as I say, we have a politician who was county supervisor for the last 20 years, and his name is Zev.
So, I hope he's a good one. What can I say?
He's going to be he'll be termed out. actually, today.
He's a politician. What do you expect?
Anyway, hi, Marilyn.
Hi there. How are you? So, the book of Zev is a political thriller about two ordinary people who stop a terrorist from blowing up the UN and Israel. But the characters are not that ordinary. Zev, as I said, is a religious Jew who is having a crisis of faith. He's a secret atheist and trying to find a home. And he ends up driving a cab in New York City through a series of plot twists and turns. And my other character, Sarah, is a beautiful redheaded kosher chef. And she is a believer, but she is recovering from a bitter divorce, and she hates God. In fact, she hates him so much that my first typist, I write by hand, refused to type the manuscript, saying that she was quite sure that God was going to strike her dead.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that bodes well for the book.
Now, the book hasn't come out yet, has it?
Not yet, no.
Okay, when will it be out?
Yeah, it'll be available December 1st in bookstores, on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. There's Kindle, there's paperback.
Okay, if you want any of our listeners to reach you, do you have a website that they could check out on?
I do. It's www.marilynhorowitz.com. And since some people are too young to know the sources of my name, I'm going to spell it. MarilynHorowitz.com.
What about your middle name?
Oh, it's nothing. Mercifully, for the internet user, I don't use my middle name on the website.
I'm making conversation.
Of course. So, yes.
Can you tell us about some of your other exploits? Because you've done just more than just one book.
Yes. Well, this is my first novel in a long time. I'm a professor at New York University, and
downtown. Or downtown?
Downtown. And
Washington Square,
and I'm a Tisch alumna, which is probably why they let me back in.
Well, what are you? What is that?
I have a degree in film production from Tisch.
Okay.
So my background is not in English; it's in film production, which may explain why the book was easy for you to read, because I tried to write it like it was a movie.
That's the best way to write.
Stan, before sure to talk to her about the film rights.
Thank you. I'll send you a check.
No, I just met her.
But the book sounds like it's a book that we can translate into a film very easily.
From your lips to God's ears.
Right. I can see. Well, Sean Connery is a little too old for the for Zev.
She's a screenwriter herself. She doesn't need us.
She needs us to sell it.
Yes, I do. I need you.
She might be able to write it.
She needs us. Tell us more about what else you've done, because I understand that you teach. What do you teach?
Well, I teach screenwriting.
Screenwriting at NYU.
At NYU. And I have a trademark writing system that has been used to teach thousands of people how to write a screenplay in 10 weeks at NYU. I teach a class with the same name.
In 10 weeks?
Yes, 10 weeks or less.
Are they any good if they write it in 10 weeks?
I would say that because you're dealing with the first draft, a lot of them are outstanding. Because the key to the writing system is structure and character, and the combination allows you to tell a better story first time out. We rely less on talent than on your native ability to tell a story.
And keep the dialogue to a minimum.
Three lines, yes.
have you sold any screenplays, or has any of your screenplays turned into films?
My sad story is that when I wrote my first novel, which was 20 years ago, I was single at that time, and I went to a cocktail party, and some guy hit on me, and he said, "Hey, baby, my best friend's a Hollywood producer. He'd like to buy the rights." And I thought, yeah. But he was. And I finished the book on a Thursday. I went to the party on a Saturday, and I sold it on a Monday, which should have been, you know, a young screenwriter's dream come true. Unfortunately, what I didn't know was that this producer, who will never be named, was a frustrated writer, and he tortured me for 2 years. The book that I wrote originally was about a serial killer and his sister, and the FBI agent who tracks them down. And it was a how-done-it, you know, chapter by chapter. We know who the bad guy is, and we watch him as he's caught. By the time I was done rewriting this thing, we never saw the bad guy until the last page. And at the end of it, the producer said to me, he said, "I really should have hired a writer." and they were going to take the book away from me. So I had a dream in which Joseph Campbell, and for those of you who are too young to know about Joseph Campbell, he was the guy who helped the guy who did Star Wars organize the script. George Lucas said he could not have made the movie without finding Joseph Campbell's work, appeared to me in a dream, in a toga, and said to me, "You are in trouble. What do you need?" This is a lucid dream.
Really? I came to you in a dream?
In a dream, honestly.
What type of drugs were you taking back then?
I was taking despair and depression, a lethal cocktail. In the dream, I woke up and I scribbled down these 12 circles. And the 12 circles saved me. They were a highly simplified version of his hero's journey. And they saved my book. It never got made. I got paid, which was the big deal. And I developed this writing system. And 2 years later, I was teaching and I was a script coach. It was kind of magical.
That's an interesting story.
Of your students, how many of them have been successful?
I've had quite a number. A lot of them, I can't really say their names because a lot of people don't want to ever have admitted having gone to a writing coach. It's kind of a day to say. But one of them was out nominated for an Emmy. One had a film made by Warner Brothers. One has had a book published by Doubleday, one by Scribner's, one by St. Martin's. And I can go on.
You have a great track record.
When you have your students, do they go out on their own and do it, or do you actually open doors for them as the instructor, as the teacher?
Well, when I can, I do. But I'm always very clear because I attend conferences like 101 University where I sit on panels with the agents, and I have to be very clear that I'm a door opener in the sense that I help people do their pitches, and if I know people, I am well known for passing books, as we all do. We help everybody around us, but it's not something that I do for a living, so anybody who's living out there, I'm not an agent, and I can't officially ever get you a deal.
Now does it help to have a degree in that area, or is it basically based on talent and what you do?
Well, in terms of writing scripts, I really honestly have to tell you that you need craft. Bill Goldman, the famous screenwriter, says, what do we need to know about writing? William Goldman says you need to know one thing about craft, and that's structure. So screenwriting, you do have a modicum of craft. But talent is one of those things where, you know, a lot of people, you know, used to say everybody has a novel. Everybody's got a screenplay. Everybody's got some totally traumatic event that can be, you know, turned into a good story. I think talent comes when you come up to your second and third story. I think that's when we really have to look at talent.
Well, I've seen a lot of movies in my time, and some of them are such crap.
Amen.
A waste of talent, a waste of film or
waste of time,
or however they're making it. And they get made because somebody knows somebody or whatever the process is.
I always think if they had my writing system, they could have avoided it being bad.
Any reason why you did not transpose yourself to Hollywood, where all of it or most of it is taking place?
Well, I have a lot of students who went to Hollywood. I guess the reason why is that I really am a New Yorker in the sense that
you like it here.
I like it here, and my aesthetic is different. My aesthetic really is that story, not about stars. My grandfather was a famous movie lawyer. He represented Charlie Chaplin and you know, people of that ilk. And my father was one of the founders of MTV. So I grew up around that sort of atmosphere,
I respect it,
but I'm not of it.
Charlie Chaplin, real briefly, I know it has nothing to do with this interview, but when he left this country, was it because of political reasons, or was it because he was going to be arrested on child abuse?
My grandfather would say, which time?
Oh, okay then. Right.
And I have a good story. Can I tell a short story?
Absolutely.
My grandfather, who looked a lot like you, was the
same. I am your grandfather. I've been reincarnated.
I missed you for so long, Grandpa. Anyway, my grandfather and Charlie Chaplin were great friends, and they were about the same height and shape. And my grandfather was a lawyer. And so on one of these patrimony cases, I don't remember which one, Charlie got on a plane, and my grandfather stood on the Queen Elizabeth in a coat with his hat down, and he received the subpoena. So he would have said to you, which time?
Yeah, well, that's a story about Chaplin, is he liked young women.
Yes, and of course he was completely unique in that department.
Yeah, very unique.
Well, what the hell? You know, that was, you know, back in those days, movie stars were able to get away with, well, almost murdered.
I had a friend that was a sergeant in the Hollywood division of the LAPD back in the 60s, 50s actually, and he would tell the stories about when they arrested any of the Hollywood stars, they wouldn't call the papers, they'd call their agents.
And what has changed?
Yeah, now they call TMZ.
Very good. Hmm.
That you know, that's really true.
But you were talking about why Maryland is in Hollywood. NYU and I think USC are the two top schools, you know, producing.
Oh, and Long Beach, where my book has also been used. And
I thought you said NAFI. UCLA, USC, and
yes.
NYU. I thought
and we have to mention Columbia, because Columbia is also considered one of the great schools. Okay. And then there's Emerson College.
But film schools or?
Film schools, yeah.
School. Oh, yeah.
But NYU is the largest. I mean, we have branches in Shanghai and Dubai.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the film school is sort of global. I have the dubious distinction of having the only textbook that was ever used in the graduate film department. not the writing department, but in film and television, because...
and it's about what?
It's called How to Write a Screenplay in 10 Weeks.
Well, can people buy your textbook?
Yes, absolutely. If you can buy them on my website, you can buy them on Amazon. And what I will say in my own defense about these things is that people who find my work always say, my God, I wish I'd found you first.
Stan, off camera, you have to speak to her.
Off camera?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not today, because we have another guest waiting in the wings.
Okay, well, she'll have to wait for a little while because we're coming up to a break. You're listening to CRNTalk.com.
Another time, because there's a lot more to go over.
Okay, Stan, hold it. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to CRNTalk.com, The View from Over Here. And we'll be back in a few minutes after words from our sponsors. Hey, Stan, perfect music for you. I mean, if there's music that's typically New York, it's...
No, I read your book.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm sorry I didn't bring you off.
Hey, guys, you're on the air.
We're on the air. All right.
You're on the air.
Wait,
you could talk privately, and we'll just listen to the conversation.
You have Uncle Don, so relax. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just wondering, Stan.
Uncle Don was?
You have two beautiful women.
Kim, do you know Uncle Don?
No, I don't.
Stan, we know the story, but you have two beautiful women in the room with you. What does Marilyn have to say?
Hey, Malcolm, I told you to come in here, but you didn't listen. Uncle Don, many years ago, I think it was the mid-40s or thereabouts, and he did a kids program, something like Howdy Doody or whatever it was. I know my kid sister used to listen to it, and I couldn't turn on anything.
Stan, we only have 6 minutes.
She has to listen to it. How much time?
6 minutes. Go. Now it's five.
Be less than a minute. Jesus.
Well, the punchline
anyway,
is that one is he turns it off and
he turns
says,
the thing
God,
off,
right?
And he says, oh, I'm glad to get rid of those little
damn
bastards. Can I say that on the air, Malcolm, or is he going to bleep it out in the control room?
No, he can say that on the air now, except we don't have a children's show. We might turn
anyway,
this into a children's show.
Okay, people who will listen and they'll hear the bleep, they'll know what the word is.
Okay, who else do we have today? Quickly.
Uncle Bob. Not Uncle John, Uncle Bob.
Did I say John? No, I meant Bob.
Stan.
Oh. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right, let's get back to the view from over here.
Wow.
What was that? Go ahead. You don't have to whisper to me. Speak up.
Hi there. I know we're out of time, but I don't want to hog Kim's beautiful time over there. But is it okay if I ask people to buy my book on December 1st and help me become an Amazon bestseller?
Definitely.
Okay,
ask
it'll
people.
Be a special for 99 cents, and it's called The Book of Zev. And charming man here is going to have me back on the show, so you can tell me whether you liked it or didn't like it on the 2nd.
Okay. Do you ever get out to Los Angeles?
I do come out from time to time, and I will come out for any excuse because I have friends. So,
let us know, and I'd love to have you in the studio here.
Remember, thank you so much.
And remember, it's tax deductible.
Okay, then I'm coming next week.
I can have you over dinner for Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. We'll talk.
We'll talk.
We say in New York, it's spelled TAWK.
We'll talk.
Hey, I'm a New Yorker.
Hey, I love you, so we'll go have some coffee.
I lived on 90th and Central Park West. I know all about it.
Oh, my God, we're neighbors. I live on 71st.
Yeah, I saw your picture, and I knew who you were.
recognize her after all these years?
I recognize you from walking out of your brownstone.
Malcolm, I think you said enough, Malcolm.
That's my next book. How did you know the plot?
Malcolm, the NSA is listening in.
The NSA is listening to everything. If not the NSA, the CIA.
Whatever, you know.
Or the ATF in my case. Anyway, Stan, who's our other guest?
Our other guest is Kim Grog. And as you can see and what we sent out on our email blast, she is a lady with many talents in the entertainment field.
Oh, I'm glad you
she
added that.
She can act, she can sing. Well, this is all according to her
website. Yeah, my
website.
According to other people, but...
She's done choreography, dancing, and she has tons of credits in the arts and entertainment.
Right, but she's working as a waitress, I know. And dentist.
Yes, right. Well, no, I don't work as a waitress.
Just kidding.
Good job.
I sometimes work as a print model. I'm very good at pharmaceutical selling. The pharmaceuticals seem to like me. So.
Yeah, Malcolm, she sells Viagra, so if you give her a call, you get a discount. You get a senior discount.
Kim, when we go off the air, let me get your number.
All right, now let me finish. Wait, let me finish our intro. She's here to tell us what it's like to succeed in a high-profile business where there's always competition, it never ends, and you have to learn how to deal with rejection.
Next week we have Heidi Fleiss on. Are you there?
Yo, wait a minute. Let me get up from the floor. I thought she's in jail.
No, she's not in jail.
She got out of jail?
She got out of jail.
Okay.
But anyway, we really don't. But that was a line I had to add because your introduction just blended to that. Anyway,
it was a good line.
Anyway, keep her there because we're up to another break with our sponsors. Want to sell products to you so we can be kept on the air. You're listening to The View from over here on CRNTalk.com. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Okay, Stan, take it away. I know you have a limited time.
All right, Malcolm.
Yep.
We're all together now?
We're all together quickly, because I know you have to...
This is Stan Weisleder on The View from over here, broadcast on CRNTalk.com over the entire effing planet. Okay, and beyond. So if you are on Jupiter or Mars, you could also hear us.
I heard the song. Now, who do we have as our next guest?
All right, next guest, and she's been waiting here patiently. Her name is Kim Grogg, and she is going to talk about what it's like to be...
Kim Grogg.
Singer, dancer, multiple talent in the entertainment field. So, Kim, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, I want to talk about my upcoming show.
All right, that's a good start.
I have a cabaret show. Actually, the first night of it is next week, Friday, November 14th. I have one on Tuesday, November 18th. I have two more in December, and the name of my show is Go Where the Love Is, and that is an Edie Burkell song that she sang on one of her albums, and I like the sentiment of it. So go where the love is and come to my show.
And where is your show?
The show is at Don't Tell Mama, which is a club here in New York City on West 46th Street, 343 West 46th Street. And if you're interested in getting tickets, you need to go through my publicist, richardskipper.com. If you go to his website, he will direct you how to get tickets for my show.
Are you going to do any tours of that or just in
New York? No, you know what? It's... by design, I don't do any tours of that. Actually, I take that back. My husband and I have a home out on the West Coast, and I was actually thinking about bringing this show out to the West Coast.
On the West Coast?
Well, probably San Diego. That's where our home is. But okay. I lived in L.A. for about 10 years, and so I have lots of friends. And, in fact, last year I just performed at the Catalina Club in L.A.
So you know the territory.
So I know the territory, yeah. So it's not set in stone, but it is a possibility. So I may tour with it out to L.A. and San Diego.
Well, if you do, you have to definitely let us know.
I will. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, Malcolm, real quick, I ran into Julie Budd last night. She wants to come back on the show to promote her new CD.
Oh, okay. Oh,
by the way, just send us an email.
Okay, hold. You were at that benefit for Sid Caesar, or their memorial.
That was the Sid Caesar tribute. That was last night.
Right, you'll have to...
Let's not take time away from...
No, I'm just saying next week you're going to have to come back and tell us all about it.
Well, next week I'll be with you.
Right.
All right. Now it's Kim's turn. Let her talk.
Talk, Kim.
Oh, that's okay. Following Marilyn, I thought, well, how can I follow Marilyn? But, Marilyn tells a story through words in a book, and I like to tell a story through words in a song. And so I guess we do relate in that aspect. And if you come to my show, you'll see I have quite a few different composers that I sing. So there's a wider range of music. There's pop music. There's musical theater. There's songs from the Great American Songbook, Cole Porter. There's music you would hear on the radio today, Pharrell Williams.
Quick interruption.
Mm-hmm.
One of my kids thinks that Frank Sinatra is classical.
No. Well, he is a classic, but
she said classical like 300 years ago.
By any chance, did you see the Michael Feinstein special he had on
I saw
PBS?
It on TV.
No, I missed it.
Oh, because he had the American Songbook.
Yes. Well, that is a very popular thing to sing these days.
And there was an old friend of mine, June Squibb, she's a neighbor of mine, who's 84 years old, and she was doing...
She was on it, Malcolm.
Yeah, she was doing the Sophie Tucker song, which was marvelous.
Oh, sure. Well, there's a great push to preserve it, which I think as a singer I'm all about, so... That's great.
Do you do any writing?
No, I don't. My husband's a writer, but I'm not a writer, so.
A writer of songs?
Nope. Mm-mm.
A writer-writer.
Yeah, a writer-writer.
So what is your background before this? Have you been in musical theater?
For many years, I was a musical theater actress, and I worked regionally, and I also taught. I was a drama teacher here in Manhattan. I taught for many years. And then when I turned 40, I decided to go back to my acting because I had finally become the character woman that I always was. And so I went back to my acting, and then once I met my husband, I thought, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. So, but I do love to sing, so I continued to sing, and that's how I really fell into cabaret because it's a wonderful way to be creative and to sing. But you don't have to do 8 shows a week, and you don't have to travel, and you don't have to, you know, go out of town to do it. You can do it right here. So that's what I love about it.
Don't have to live in a suitcase.
And you don't have to live in a... Exactly.
How long...
Where
are you from originally?
I grew up in Indiana.
Back home?
Midwestern girl.
And do you sing back home in Indiana?
Sometimes.
Anyway, Kim,
I lived in L.A. for about 10 years, and now I've lived in New York for about 24 years.
So what do you call yourself?
I call myself a New Yorker.
Okay.
I've lived in New York longer than anywhere. So
yeah,
longer than in Indiana, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was raised in New York, and I've lived out here in Los Angeles longer, and I still call myself a New Yorker.
You sound like a New Yorker.
Anyway, Kim, I'm sorry. I think Stan is going to have to leave.
That's okay. I know he's got to catch a flight, but come to my show, everyone.
Okay, give us a game. Where can they contact you?
Go to richardskipper.com, S-K-I-P-P-E-R, richardskipper.com. They'll find out all about my show, Go Where the Love Is.
And when is it?
Friday, November 14th, Tuesday, November 18th, Friday, December 7th, and Sunday, December 7th, here in New York City at Don't Tell Mama on 46th
Street. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you.
Malcolm, when is the break?
Stan, leave. There's no break until you have to leave now. Say goodbye. Tell people
you'll... So you'll wrap up with Jonas.
I have Jonas on the line.
All right.
Say hello to Jonas before you leave.
Hello, Jonas.
Jonas, are you there?
I am. Hello there.
Okay. Stan has to cut out. He has to catch a plane back to L.A.
Have a safe flight, Stan.
All right, Jonas, see you next week.
Absolutely.
Okay, have a good trip, Stan. I think Stan left us. Jonas, are you there?
I am here, Malcolm.
Okay, introduce yourself, because you're our new entertainment...
My name is Jonas Schwartz, and I am a theater critic for Theater Mania and a member of the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle here in L.A., and I have some great theater for some theater recommendations for this week.
Yeah, we're going to call you our entertainment maven.
Sounds wonderful.
And tell us a little of your background before you get into your...
I've been a critic for about 15 years, was a film critic first with Comcast Cable and a few other outlets. I've been with Theater Mania since 2003 and joined the LA Drama Critics last year. I love theater, and what I love about being a critic is that when something excites me, I have the opportunity to tell people, you know, this is something you're going to love or hopefully love.
Well, when I came out over here, you know, I'm from New York, and I always found, you know, if you're an actor or a writer and you're into theater, you stay in New York. If you're into film or possibly television, you come out to L.A. But that seems to have changed.
I think that there's a lot of actors out here that are putting together some wonderful theater companies and are making sure the theater is alive here. It may not be the industry it is in New York, and it may not be the industry that film is out here, but it's thriving, and people are putting on some wonderful work.
Yeah. But what I find objectionable is you know, being used to Broadway, is the large theaters in Los Angeles, like, I hate to knock the Pantages, if you're sitting in the back, you're really not seeing theater. They're too big, and in Broadway, they seem to be closer and built up.
Well, it's an old house, and and ironically, one of the shows that I'm promoting is a Pantages show.
Right, I know that. Yeah. So I don't want to knock the Pantages. It's a good theater for certain shows.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, ornate theater.
Yeah, I remember when they redid that. It was I think originally an old movie theater.
It was also the Academy Awards were there for years.
Right. And then the same thing as the theater downtown, which is too big.
Oh, the Center Theater Group?
Yeah.
I like the Amundsen. I mean, I have to admit that usually I'm in the orchestra, but...
Right, that, yeah.
But back in my old days when I was a kid in college, I would see most of the shows from the balcony and remember adoring them just as much as I do now.
Yeah, being used to the Broadway shows. The Broadway theaters were actually built for plays.
Oh, absolutely.
Where the theaters over here were really built for movies originally. Anyway, what shows are you going to talk about today?
Well, the thing I want to make sure on all of my segments is that I talk about shows that are in big theaters, but also in some of the small theaters. And I've got a show here at a 44-seat theater that's putting out really wonderful work. And I also have a family-owned production company that's putting out some wonderful work. So first and foremost, there are 8 performances left for one of the most invigorating nights of theater I've seen. Bob Fosse's Pippin has returned to Broadway, last year winning Best Revival, and now the production is here at the Pantages. The director, Diane Paulus, set the show in a circus, and it's some of the most amazing feats I've ever seen on stage. I spent much of the time going, how did they do that? The leading player sings, "We've got magic to do," and she's not really kidding. I mean, there's disemboweled heads, carrying on conversations, women who change their clothes and the amount of time it takes to blink, acrobatics that you usually see in Cirque du Soleil. It is an amazing show. They had one guy, he took a large cylinder, put it on the floor, added a cylinder on top, then another, then another, then another, then a plank on top, and he climbed on it and balanced on it. Now, for somebody who trips when I walk down solid ground, I was rather impressed. The other amazing thing is that Chet Walker, who was one of the original cast members, he remounted all of Bob Fosse's choreography from the original show. And if you've ever seen Bob Fosse's choreography for the show, you know how amazing it is. For the cast members, they've got John Rubinstein, who played the original Pippin back in 1972. He's now graduated to playing his father. He treats the role as if the character were slightly drunk and slightly insane, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, as we talked before, I know John, whose father was Arturo Rubinstein.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So he comes from a family of a musical talent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then also his son, Michael Weston, is also a very talented actor. There's also wonderful are Christine Reese, who plays Pippin's insecure love, and Sabrina Harper, who's Pippin's duplicitous stepmom. They're wonderful, but everybody just stops when Andrea Martin shows up. Andrea Martin won the Tony Award last year for the show, and she's incredible. She's fetching at age 67. She takes what was a crowd-pleasing number, No Time at All, the song that, everyone sings along with the audience, and she turns into such a sexy rendition. She spends half the song hanging upside down on the trapeze singing. I mean, I can't imagine doing that at age 20. It's just amazing what she does. One of the other theaters that's doing great work is down the street in West Hollywood. It's Edward Albee's Tony winner, The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? It's playing at the Davidson Valenti Theater until November 23rd. They're on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights only. It contains one of the most ferocious performances. Ann Noble plays the woman who discovers her loving husband's dirty little secrets, and she's a volcano seeping bubbling lava into the aisles. Darkly funny, she makes the absurd situation almost relatable. You've got to go see this performance. It is truly remarkable. Also quite epic is 3D Theatricals' rendition of Ragtime. It's playing for another week at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. It's a beautiful rendition with a striking lead turn by Rufus Bonds Jr. as Cole House Walker Jr., the wronged piano player who goes on a killing spree in the turn of the century in New York. As his tragic love, Sarah, Debron Poyemi, I hope I pronounced that right, is heartbreaking with a lilting voice, and she melds beautifully with Bonds.
Yeah, they made an excellent movie about that.
Yes, it was not based on the musical, but based on the book itself.
The book.
Back in 1981, yes, it was a gorgeous movie.
Was that E.L. Doctorow?
Yes, it was. And if anyone has seen the musical, it's a very good production. It's got some great songs by Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens, who won the Tony Award for this show back in 1998. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me to that. And it's got some wonderful songs, stirring songs, show-stopping numbers, and it's just fabulous.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I go to musicals, most musicals in Los Angeles, I'm always amazed by the talent that these people have that I've never heard of.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
They've been in the stage, but you see them, you say, how come they're not more famous?
Oh, and but there's such gems out here, and the definite gems here are Andrea Martin, Bob Fosse's choreography, Anne Noble in The Goat, and Rufus Bonds Jr. Yeah. Some great, great work. Pippin and Ragtime are only playing for another week, but you have a few weeks to see The Goat. So I would definitely try to get to the website and see where the links are for the tickets and try to catch one, if not all of those.
Yeah, you've sent the websites to us, right?
Yes. I sent the websites to you. So you, anybody that goes to the website should be able to go directly to the links for the Pantages, the Davidson Valenti, or 3D Theatricals to get tickets for the show.
Okay, we'll have those websites on our website at www.viewfromoverhere.com. Pam, do you hear that? She's a lady. Pam, we're going to have the websites to the theaters on our website. Okay, she just nodded ahead.
Perfect.
So we shall have that. What are you going to be seeing in the upcoming weeks? Do you have a...
This Friday I am seeing Scream at the Rockwell. This is a spoof of the famous 1997 movie reintroduced slasher films to successful movies. They're doing it with Sarah Hyland, the oldest daughter on Modern Family. She's playing the lead. She's playing, I assume, the Neve Campbell role. It's got some great actors, including Christine Lakin, who was in Silence, the musical, a few years ago. Also seeing on Sunday, Hunchback of Notre Dame, the musical version of the movie back in 1996. I'm pulling these names out of my head.
1996,
yes.
With Charlton?
No, the
Charles
Disney,
Lawton?
A Disney musical. With the score by Menken and the lyrics by Stephen Schwartz, who also wrote Pippin.
Is he any related to Stephen Schwartz? Any relation to Jonas Schwartz?
Stephen Schwartz. But the book is actually written by Stephen Schwartz's son. He directed the show and wrote the book. I'm looking forward to it. It's at the La Jolla Playhouse. So hopefully next week I'll be able to tell everybody all about Scream and Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hey. By the way, you write these reviews, right? Where do they appear?
My reviews can be found at Theater Mania or artsinla.com. And all of my reviews are also on the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle website.
Okay, and you're going to send a copy of your review so we could post on our website.
Absolutely.
www.viewfromoverhere.com. Stick around. We have like about 3 minutes to end the show, but I still want to speak to you. So hold on. You're listening to The View From Over Here on crntalk.com. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Jonah Schwartz to tell us more exciting things about L.A. theater. Welcome back to The View From Over Here, heard on crntalk.com. And on the phone, this is Malcolm Berman, and Stan is now on his way back to Kennedy Airport to fly back to from New York to Los Angeles. So, Stan, have a good trip. I know you're not listening to me. Jonas, are you on?
I am.
Okay, we have a few more minutes. What else would you like to tell us about yourself?
Oh, what would I like to tell about myself?
About yourself. Well, about your work.
This is the first time that I've done a radio show, so I was a bit nervous. I hope I didn't garble my words too much.
No, you're doing excellent. Everybody, you know, I went to the studio. Everybody says, they like your presentation, and you're very good with the reviews. We're excellent.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'll be adding some film in sometimes. Because of all of the work I do with theater, I rarely get to see film anymore. But I have seen some great stuff on DVD. I saw Snowpiercer, which is on Netflix streaming now, with Chris Evans and Ed Harris. It's an apocalyptic thriller, and it's quite thrilling. I was a little bored at the beginning, and then it really took off, and it was quite an exciting film. Also saw yesterday a movie called Chef. Jon Favreau, really darling film. It's on Netflix, not streaming, but the DVDs. Couldn't recommend that more. It was a great cast. Dustin Hoffman, Scarlett Johansson, Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, a few names.
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, on the broad view of things, I'd like you, you know, since you have that background, to talk about entertainment in general.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Because with modern technology now, I mean, people are doing features on YouTube. It's an amazing world out there.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's got a voice, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And that's a perfect way to say today everyone should be voting.
Oh, definitely. Don't forget that. And well, we're in Los Angeles, which basically there's really no competition. The head is a governor, but the rest of the world, the rest of the U.S., it's an important election.
There's some very important propositions on the water situation,
right,
and insurance. So no matter what you vote for, even if it's everything opposite of what I do, please go out there and vote.
Wait. If it's opposite of what you do and you're voting yes on all those props, don't vote no, because I'm a yes person.
But yes, we just want to make sure that everyone is out there and voting.
And around the rest of the country, if you're not voting Democratic, don't go out. Because, you know, this is an important election to see, you know, who's going to control the Senate.
It is very important.
And if the Republicans control the Senate, not that I'm doing any political ads, but if the Republicans control the Senate for the next 2 years where you think it was, you know, the Senate was tied up before, or the Congress was tied up, wait till the next 2 years.
It could be a scary time ahead.
Yeah.
We will definitely find out.
So definitely go out and vote if you're voting the right way, and the right way would be a Democratic ticket. Have you voted yet?
I did. I voted this morning.
Was it busy at the polls?
It was. It was 8:45, but I got right in and got right out.
Yeah, I remember voting in New York, and I had to wait online. In Los Angeles, I've never waited in a line in my life.
Oh, it wasn't too bad at all.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. We look forward to you.
Thank you so much.
Our entertainment critic and a man about town. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody.
And you're listening to The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com. Any comments or anything, go to our website, www.viewfromoverhere.com, and you can reach us, give us questions, give us comments, or apply to become one of our advertisers. Until then, go out and vote, and have a great week.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of InfinityX and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.